podcast has changed my life.
Not boys will be boys version.
And it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
Change to music pending.
This is not funny.
We could start with me telling you about what happened to me this morning.
I would love that.
So, would you like to know, Sam, what I was up to this morning?
What a great natural way for you to put that to me. What did you do this morning?
Oh, thanks for asking. I went to the beach. I went to a beautiful beach, which is kind of like on the harbour, I suppose. It's kind of like would it be a harbour beach? It's called Red Leaf. Are you familiar with this one?
Oh, yeah, no, beautiful Red Leaf. Did you go jump off the little thing around the side?
Too scary for me. I just lay on the grass and then popped in. And then I'm swimming there and, just bobbing around, getting some water on you. And then, you get your head under and then some to cool down, and then some water gets in your mouth, of course. And then you're like, oh, I'm a bit aware that it's a harbour beach. But I'm like, what, people talk about the harbour beaches as being, the harbour's like cleaner these days because they open one near the CBD.
People love the harbour beaches.
It's fine. So I'm like,
they've bounced back.
A bit aware of like getting in my mouth, but whatever. But yeah, had a bit of anxiety about that, I guess. Then went back and sat on the grassy hill and was like luxuriating there, looking out at the beautiful vista. It's a lovely day here in Sydney. And then I saw a Channel 9 news reporter being filmed. So there were cameras over on the side.
Okay.
And
At
the beach, exactly. And
what are they doing at the beach?
Well, exactly. I'm thinking, wow, what could they be filming? You're a bit aware, like, oh, what if you're in the background, And then I'm thinking, you know what they're probably doing? Because it's such a lovely day. The story is probably, what a beautiful day here in Sydney. One of those light pieces that they put at the end of the news.
Love it. Wonderful.
And people here are out and about, and there are probably some panning shots of all the people at the beach. Wonderful. And I'm like, what a place to be. This is being documented by the news where I'm at for being a lovely place to be, and I'm here.
That's how good a decision you made to go there.
Exactly.
That they sent the news down.
The news
to cover
is
it.
Here being like, fucking, this is the best spot, maybe in the city.
These people made the best decision. That's all got time for at 6 p.m.
Here they are. Look,
because they've
news.
Only got 24 minutes for the news, and your decision and the other people's decision to go there made it into that.
Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking, and that's now I've got a pep in my step, and I've got a bit of a smile on my dial, and the chats that I'm having are more elated, and I'm having a fantastic time on a Friday. Then I look over, and the cameras are now moving over to a different bit, and there are different people being interviewed, and I'm like, God, are they interviewing some revelers or some people in bikinis to say how fantastic the weather is? And it's no longer the weather woman who was an attractive news presenter in a normal news presenter dress, who I presumed was saying how nice the beach was. Now it's two men with kind of like navy blue tucked in shirts and kind of like industrially pants with like a pocket on the shirt with like some sort of like logo on the pocket. It doesn't say Channel 9 anymore, it's something else. And one of them's holding an Esky, and they're both I don't know, in their mid 40s. They kind of look like, dare I say, as I look a bit closer, scientists, and they're talking, and I'm like,
there's
okay,
a lot happening here.
Now this doesn't
with an Esky.
This doesn't look like a story about how beautiful the beach is. This looks like they're talking about science.
Or maybe it's some scientists who have, it's such a good day, they've bought an Esky with some beers in it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, the Esky's still a bit, it's pretty
Esky's a bit good. Of, we're having a good time still.
Exactly. And then I'm looking, and then one of them, while speaking to the camera, opens the Esky, and then I suppose you could, it was a very scientific looking glass, which he then...
Well, to put the beer in.
I was like, no. No, he leans over and he scoops out some of the seawater and he's holding that up. And I'm like, oh, I think this could be a story about like contamination of the place that I've just swam and it's been in my mouth. And I was kind of worried about it, but then was kind of made to feel better about it because the woman was talking to the cameras and saying, I presumed, how good it was. And then they stopped filming and walked over. And I was curious. I went and asked, what's the story? And they're like, yeah, high levels of contamination of the harbour water. We don't know. We haven't measured today, but that's what the story is about. And that's what I was measuring. And it has been higher because of the rain. And Becky just sent me Time Out Sydney, a story. Read this before your beach trip. It might not be safe to swim at these Sydney beaches. This is from an hour ago. Some of Sydney's beaches are contaminated with dangerous levels of pollution. The photo on the Instagram post is Red Leaf Beach. So basically, this morning I've been at a beach that is in the news for shit and piss being in the water at a level that is unsafe.
It's not good, but it's also, I don't blame you too much. Like, what are you going to live your life every time you're going to go to the beach? Google an article? That's no way to live.
I just don't want to be at the beach in the article as the example of where the piss and shit is. When I, what other what time in
who
your life?
Who is a dumb fucking idiot?
Yeah. Now the panning shots, it's like, and yet, even though the high contamination levels, some of Sydney's biggest idiots still come out and put their mouths and faces in where the piss and shit is at its high levels.
Often they say, what do they say? Any press is good press.
Okay.
And so your decision still made the news, it turns out.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So you're still quite relevant in what you're getting up to.
So you're saying
yes, it's a bit of a swing from where you initially thought you were.
Yeah.
But it's often not about the journey. It's about FaceTime on screen.
I think you're right. I think if we've got a spectrum here, you know I love a spectrum.
Yep.
On the right here, we've got the beautiful, most cleanest beach and the best beach there ever was. And potentially there'd be news reporters there reporting on how good the beach is and how everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
The beach gets shitter and shitter than that. It's still a fantastic beach, but it's no longer being reported on. It's not in the news.
Yep.
And then it's just an okay beach, a moderate beach. We're moving down the spectrum now. Now it's a, not a great beach. There's a bit of contamination. And it's quite a bad beach. Quite a bit of contamination. When you get to a really contaminated beach, the news gets back involved. So you'd almost rather be so contaminated that the news is there than like a bit less contaminated and no news coverage. So, you're right. Like if you have to choose between a bad beach, you may as well go so bad that there are scientists there measuring.
So I think the spectrum...
2 seconds after you got out.
I think the spectrum's slightly different. So I think... So if you look at it, I think for the news to come to a really good beach, that beach has to be so good. Because beaches are traditionally beautiful, right? Lovely.
Yeah, they're especially pretty good anyway, and that's not newsworthy.
So it's not newsworthy. So we're talking like the best beach, best weather. Like that to me, that's so far in one direction, right? Then if you come to the middle of the two between contamination and nice beach, I would then argue that super contaminated is like probably, it's going to be a huge news story. But the beach probably doesn't have to be that contaminated to get on the news because of our obsession with nice beaches and not wanting to swim in contaminated water. So I would argue that it wasn't actually that contaminated, but just any beach being contaminated is newsworthy.
Okay. I love this. I love this approach. I love this thought process. This means that I have less shit and piss in my stomach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to buy that we just have a high standard and the media are taking holding these beaches to account, and that's really what's going on, and I didn't make
the media are just looking for a soft story. The media are very negative by nature. That's one of the main things they like to do. It's very rarely you see a good news story on the news where they're like, hey, just wanted to, you know, breaking news, here's a headline, you're all doing okay. They don't do that.
No.
That's not what they do. They like to pick holes. The welfare system's broken. Yes. Our beaches are dirty. It's classic fucking mainstream media stuff.
Yeah. Time out, Sydney. You fucking pieces of ass. What are you doing?
This man does have a mouthful of human feces in his mouth right now, but it's our fault for reporting on it, not
his.
The
background, like the overlay when the voiceover says, and yet these people didn't care about the levels of poo, and then it's just me telling a bad anecdote from a week ago with my shirt off. People can maybe zoom in and see my nipples as it's described that I have shit in my mouth. That's just possible. That's like, did that happen to you this morning? No.
Well, it's also like I always see, you know, when they talk about obesity problems on the news and like go to the overlay of just like people on the street and you're always like, how does that happen? You're kind of there now. Do you know what I mean? When they talk about contamination and people not caring, they're going to cut to Cashman and his nipples just blaring. And you know,
hang on, so you're saying that not only is there a chance that on Nine News tonight, they will cut to a shot of a bunch of people in the grass, which will include me with my too pasty body and my nipples out.
Yep.
While it says that I like, well, not I like to, but I don't know enough about safety such that I have poo in my mouth right now.
And on your nipples, yeah.
That, and all over me.
All over you. You're covered in poo.
You're saying that file, once they've filmed it and the tonight's news is done, will probably be named something like contamination. Ocean contamination, harbor contamination, put in a file such that in future, when there are other stories about contamination in a harbour and they need quick footage of that for the news, they'll like type keywords in, get that footage and use it. So it could be used multiple times for years
for years.
As an example of people that don't care and about getting poo in their mouths.
So this is going to have...
you can see their nipples.
It's going to have a lifespan, is what I'm saying. So you better hope. And as a quick example, on the project this week, we did a story on men spending too long on their phone while sitting down on the toilet. During the news headline, they cut to some footage. The footage was of Daniel Connell on a toilet, the comedian Daniel Connell, using his phone that apparently he shot 7 years ago when he used to work for the project. And it's still I texted still him there. And he goes, dude, that are they still using it? That's crazy.
Yep.
7 years ago.
I've come back. I think that's actually quite comforting. This is my legacy. If I die tomorrow, I could still live on in the way that I sat there with poo in my mouth and on my nipples.
Poo man in the mouth. So if anything, now you have more of an incentive to clean up these contaminated beaches. You need to clean the harbour.
No.
Because you're going to get out of... You want to get this... You don't want them to run this
terrible footage. Yeah, yeah. This is how I become a greenie. Or if my career takes a dive, then I become incentivized to contaminate the waters so that I get back on TV. They'll be like, I haven't had many TV appearances recently, so what I need to do is just shit in a bucket instead of in a toilet and then go down at night and secretly contaminate certain beaches so the contamination levels are higher so they use these stories again and then I can be like, as appeared on Channel 9 News.
I'm back.
Three times this year, exactly.
I do like it. It's a hell of a thing for someone who would...
And my revealed body is comedy, so that would count as a comedy spot.
Yeah, I guess so. And also, being covered in shit is pretty funny. So you could argue.
I reckon I could clip it up in a beneficial way, you know. Like the panning of it is not inherently comedic, but if I edit it correctly, I can check it up online.
If you put up a clip tomorrow, say you're on the news tonight, you put up a clip of you of you, shit all over you, newsread being like these
people. The shit wasn't visible. It was a bit oily.
It was oily?
There was an oily vibe to
it. Wait, so it felt bad?
Was legitimately holding up the water being like, you can tell it's a bit oily. I'm like, it's been in my mouth quite a lot.
So but when you went in...
like, oh, it's probably fine. We were talking about it being a bit weird when we were in. And then we're talking about how, oh, it's probably fine though. And then the news was there to scientists measuring it with cups, talking at cameras being like, yeah.
Oh, that's killed me. That is... Dude, I love the idea of like a Taskmaster fan just at home, just watching Channel 9 News and then just you popping up and then being like...
I've always wanted to see his nipples.
Surely that's not Tom Cashman covered in shit behind him.
You couldn't see the shit. You can't see the shit in your mouth.
That's why you couldn't see the
shit. The shit is... From the context of the voiceover of there's high levels of shit in the water, you could presume shit. But I want to make it a clap. I wasn't covered
in... This man brilliant. Was covered in shit. What a disgusting human he is. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks so much, Michelle. What a great piece. Piece of shit on Tom's mouth. Piece of shit around his lips and in his throat and down his stomach and just there right now as I speak on this podcast. Who knows? The love. This could be my last day on Earth.
Yeah, you feeling okay?
I feel a bit funny in the tummy, dude. I don't know if it's in my head. I should email them and tell them to please not show the footage.
You can do that. Yeah, if you can get in touch, you can definitely do it. But it is crazy they can just film at the beach. I thought that was kind of illegal because of, like, creepiness. Do you know what I mean?
To come up with another spectrum... The smaller the camera, the creepier it is.
Oh, that's...
You know, like upskirters have like a little tiny camera on the end of like a walking stick and they
put
on their girls' dresses and stuff. Like that's obviously very creepy. Then you've got phone, kind of small. Like still creepy to be pointing at someone because everyone knows what you're doing and that's kind of probably what your average perv is doing if they're trying to film you. But if you get a big camera, you're admitting it to such a degree that it's like there's a presumed official purpose.
It's fine,
That's actually, if you're a peeping Tom pervert who wants to film women at the beach,
you go the other
buy
way.
Like a 40 grand
peak
camera
more.
And pretend you're getting overlay for the news.
More than, it'd be like
go down there by
60,
yourself.
70 grand, get a whole kit, get one of those dolly rigs, employ a sound guy just to walk around with a boom.
It's just your mate with another camera on the end of like a big boom thing going really close, being like, we just need audio.
So we're doing audio, we're doing a story on the real attractive ladies here at the beach.
Yeah, would you like to be interviewed? Doing fake interviews. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you could even probably buy some Channel 9 merch and then, you know,
You just
wear it
just
to look really official.
A cap that says Channel 10 and you're home. No one will care. I'll get you the hat. If you're listening and you're into this idea, if you fork out the 70 grand, I know it's not ethical and what you're doing is wrong, but if you commit to spending 70 grand on a camera, I'll get you a hat from Channel 10. My little gift to you. How do you feel about the term Peeping Tom having your name? Like, it's quite a negative term to be a Peeping Tom. And you've...
It is pretty negative.
You've been drawn into it quite unfairly.
I feel like, yeah, I've got a few texts. I mean, I have a bit about this. I feel like it is unfair that the word Tom is in there, though this is part of the bit that I've dropped. So on the one hand, it's bad that one of the main ways, well, probably the main way to describe this behavior of like perving and creeping and putting cameras secret places is called Peeping Tom. It's got the word Tom in it. Even like police, when they refer to it, probably use that term. Mm. But on the other hand, peeping is like a pretty minimalist way to refer to what is essentially secretly filming and wanking is peeping, really what's going on. To call that peeping, I think that means the first Tom, because presumably the first guy to get caught for this behavior was called Tom. That's why it's Peeping
You've
Tom.
You've got to think. Yeah.
He did a good job like rationalizing what he did to the point where it was
just peeping.
Put in the category of just peeping. Yeah, it's like masturbating. You're masturbating.
You're masturbating. You're like endangering people. You're making people feel like, and he's like, no, I was having a peek. What, a man it's can't a simple have a peep anymore?
But I'm just doing a bit of a peep.
Oh, what? So you don't want me to use my eyes that are in my head?
Oh, Peeping Tom. Arrest me right now. Yeah. I guess call me. And they're like,
what's my crime? I'm a Peeping Tom. Okay, fine. Lock it in. Write that down. Let it be known.
The village was like Peeping Tom. And he's like, got me guilty of like, but guilty of more than peeping.
He was like peeping.
Was you're he an attorney? He's got the charges down from like sneaky masturbation down.
It's Tom, you're in prison for 5 years. It was more than peeping. Stop telling everyone it was only peeping.
Yeah, they call me Peeping Tom. What can I say? What can I say?
That's Tom, you're a sex offender, Tom. Get it through
I've
your
got
head.
It right here. I've got your criminal record right here. Yep, Peeping Tom.
Yeah, you got me. And I peeked with all those things that you said there. Use my eyes. I did it. I peeked.
7 counts of peeping. Guilty. Arrest me. They did.
They did, Tom.
You're serving time right now. I'm what you're trying to do to you through bulletproof glass.
It's called rewriting history, what you're doing here, Tom.
Yeah. And he won. His legacy is better than it could have been.
Yeah. So you're saying the issue is not with the word Tom, it's with peeking.
Well, I suppose the negative of the whole thing is that my name is in this term to refer to an immoral behavior.
Yeah, my initial thing, how do you feel? So you don't mind being kind of grouped with this guy who is kind of quite good at spinning a story.
That's the positive.
You're quite happy to be associated with that part.
At least the term isn't masturbating, Tom. You know what I mean? It could be worse based on what the meaning of the thing is. I suppose the other thing I would say is that, which is a positive thing, is that there's other things like Doubting Thomas. You familiar with this from the Bible?
Doubting? I've never heard that.
A Doubting Thomas?
No.
So I think St. Thomas doubted, a guy called Thomas in the Bible, doubted Jesus when he was saying that he was the Son of God.
Oh.
He was like, yeah, right. Which, to be fair, I think I'd do that.
I mean,
now.
Thomas just sounds like a critical thinker.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Jesus was saying a lot of stuff, and it's totally fine to doubt that. In fact, you'd be more skeptical of people that blindly follow, right?
Uh-huh. So I think Doubting Thomas, I suppose that's positive. But also, I suppose that creates... I mean, you haven't heard of it. It's definitely less common a phrase than Peeping Tom. But there's Tom, Dick, and... Every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Love that one.
There's Doubting Thomas. There's Peeping Tom. So Tom's doing all different types of behaviours. He's not just peeping. If Peeping Tom is the only one, people will be like, oh, maybe Toms are all peeping. But I think because we're all talking about Toms, that's just what it's like to be out there in the mix, one of the most common names.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're at the top, right? You're going to get caught up in some stuff you're not happy with, but also there's a lot of benefits. Yeah,
Haters going to peep. That's what I say. Peepers going to hate.
The other thing,
I've probably told you this a million times, this is what I say to every person when I meet another Tom, is I had this is my formative experience with being called Tom, is when I was in year 5. I was I was one of the best behaved kids in my grade.
Well done.
Or in my class at least. And as a result, I think it was year 4 actually.
Did you get an award?
No. It just meant that when naughty kids in my class were acting up, sometimes my teacher would tell me to take the naughty kid to another class.
You'd have to walk the naughty kid.
Yeah. So because I was trusted. Well, the one-on-one was a bit difficult because it was like... the best behaved kid in the class walking along with the worst behaved. And I'm trying to be pally, like, difficult, isn't it? You know? And he's kind of, shut the fuck up. Like, But and would like, also be like, oi, just let me go, and I'd be like, no, I mean, we should do what you said. Like, you know, I was like an effective transporter of the...
I love the kid being like, let me go. Like, you have some kind of authority. You're just another kid.
Oh, yeah. And this kid, like the few kids that way bigger than me, like they're naughty kids for a reason. They're huge. They could just run away if they wanted. But I think, yeah, if they ran away, then I would go back and be like, he ran away. Whereas I think if they convince me to be like, to chill and take ages and just not go anywhere, that would be better for them. But to be honest, I don't remember heaps of it, but I remember that dynamic of like, it was awkward because it's a bit of a weird dynamic to be put in. But anyway, I remember one, also I'd just be messaging other times. Anyway, I don't think I was being a messenger for that particular purpose. I think I was just went with a message to some other class.
Yeah.
And then the teacher turns to me and he's like, so what's your name, kid? And I'm like, Tom. And he goes, oh, interesting. Come in to the classroom. And he's like, kneel down there.
What?
In front of everyone. He's like, kneel down.
Kneel?
Kneel, yeah. And face the class. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, Thomas Klug, who was another kid called Tom in my year, stand up, come out here. And got this other Tom Klug to kneel down and face the class. And then I couldn't really see, but he was patting us on the head. He was like standing behind us, both kneeling.
What?
Patting us on the head like that. And then said, look, everyone.
Like he's playing the bongos.
Look, everyone, I'm playing the tom-toms. It was a pun.
Wow.
But, God, as you can imagine, a relatively stressful situation to be in when you're 9 or 10 or whatever and you're asked to kneel.
Couldn't
and
then he pop in your knees?
Yeah, it wasn't a fantastic pun from my perspective for that reason.
I think he's used that gear before.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's odd.
I think so. But anyway, that's another Tom. So Tom Tom's the drum is, I suppose, a fourth.
Is a fourth. That's a fourth Tom we can add to the list.
Which is positive. Okay, great. I was humiliated.
That's like peaking Tom's defense. He's like, no. Yes, I might be a peaking Tom, but I'm not as bad as Tom.
Do you like drum solos? Because without me, you'd be nowhere, mate. So maybe put me down and let me out of your wife's shower. That I was secretly hiding in somehow.
I had a weird one during the week. I had to go and do a segment for the project.
Yes.
As often. Sometimes they send me out like in the field.
Yes.
To record things. So I'm not in the studio. Mm. And I got sent to interview two sumo wrestlers.
Okay.
Which, have you had much to do in the world of sumo?
Absolutely nothing to do with the world of sumo. I've watched a few sumo wrestling matches. I remember as a kid watching a few. Love the vibe of it. The strategy looks fun.
So I didn't know much about it. I was told I was interviewing this like Japanese sumo guy, right? Yeah. Which was like pretty exciting. I'm like, that's awesome. And then I wanted to wear like the thing, the cloth.
Yeah.
But then I got told that was culturally maybe insensitive.
Totally, because it's a Japanese thing.
The producer was like, yeah, maybe not. Maybe don't do it.
Well, maybe you have to earn that. In like being part of the sumo, because it is like a Japanese thing where presumably you have to work yourself up to even.
No, you do. But I was just going to wear the low level one, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because apparently it's open for anyone. Anyone can do sumo if they want to do it. Anyway, so I get there, and it's like it was sounding feel weird because it was like I thought that like they were like these are the biggest sumo stars in the world, and I was like this is exciting. They're here doing a show or something. And then I go to this hotel to meet them, and it's kind of a bit of a dodgy hotel. Like it's not like the Hilton or whatever. It's like quite a cheap Novotel thing. Okay. Not that, and okay. I'm like, whatever. Like they're new in town. Like maybe I just thought they'd be staying.
yeah.
Somewhere, you know, that's a bit fancy.
Totally.
Like I would stay at this place, you know. Like it's not.
The top sumos should be totally.
They're sumos, right? And then I get into
You're like, it's sumo.com thing? Like, I'm not aware of the sumo market. I assume it's still crushing it in
all
Japan.
All I hear, people love sumo. I hear it's got strength to strength. But obviously, maybe times are tough. There was a booking error. They're at this Novotel, right? So I get there, you know, get into this room. There's no sumos. I walk in, zero sumos. There's this American guy. And he's their promoter.
Okay.
And he's like chatting to me. Mm. And he's like, we'll get you to chat to the sumos and then maybe do some wrestling. And I was like, that sounds all right. That's pretty cool. And then he goes, the Japanese sumo guy's not coming. And I was like, well, who am I going to interview? And he goes, I've got you two other sumos. And I was like, awesome. That sounds great. And then he goes, one guy's from Egypt and then one guy's from Mongolia.
Okay.
Which I was like, okay. But I thought, like, I don't know a lot about sumo, but I thought almost all of them were Japanese. And he goes,
or yeah, at least live there and have, you know, worked their way into this Japanese cultural thing.
Totally. Exactly. Surely. Right. So I sit down and I start interviewing the Egyptian sumo guy.
Mm.
And then I'm like, what's it like doing sumo in Japan? And he goes, I've never been to Japan. And I was like, that's not a good start for me interviewing a sumo wrestler.
What is a sumo? Like, I'm starting to think, what is a sumo? Because in my mind, sumo means someone who's gone through the cultural kind of like been ingratiated into the culture of sumo in Japan and trained under someone who does it. But it's not just a big guy who just was like, let me out.
But this is just... Well, I said, how did you get into sumo? And he goes, I met Mike over there, points at the American guy.
Yes.
And he's like, and then now I do sumo.
Yeah. Oh my God, this screams of American hustler kind of guy.
Dude. Anyway, then I sit down to interview the next guy. He doesn't really speak that good English. He's from Mongolia. And then
was he speaking Japanese?
No, he can't speak Japanese.
I was trying. I'm trying here, surely. There's some association.
Neither of them had been to Japan. Neither could speak Japanese.
You've been tricked. You've been tricked.
Anyway, so then they take their robes off and they're big. Like, they're pretty big.
Yep.
Well, one guy wasn't as big, but the Egyptian dude was the biggest man I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And then they're like, all right, let's do this thing. We start warming up. And then, like, I don't know really what sumo is, but they're like, get low, and then you just bump into each other.
Yep.
But then they were just like picking me up and just like carrying me around. Like, the Egyptian dude put me on his shoulder and like wouldn't put me down, and he's carrying and he's like laughing at me and stuff. And
you know, this is when I reckon, you know, how we had the idea of just some random bloke buying an $80,000 camera and putting a fake Channel 10 hat on. I reckon that's who was filming it, mate. I don't think any of this was for television. This was some sick tickle-based sex thing where they wanted you to go and just be carried around by a few big guys. This has got nothing to do with sumo, nothing to do with television. This is just, there's someone behind a wall, some peeping Tom-ass guy having a fantastic time sexually.
Well, that's what I feel like. I'm going to end up in a Netflix documentary about, like, the biggest con of all time. This man just exploiting these big fellas he finds on the street, being like, I'm going to make you a sumo star. Turns out it's some weird sex thing, and I'm going to be, like, in it as some part of, like, the media didn't even know, and they were complicit in the whole thing.
It's like the, you know that I Think You Should Leave sketch? Where there's a guy who runs a record company and, like, someone's screaming at him, like, you got to stop convincing these middle-aged men that they're going to be stars. Because he's, gets these, like, the guys in their 40s and pretends that they've written the biggest hit of all time and then makes them pay heaps of money for the recording studio and stuff. It's like, you've got to stop convincing big guys that they're going to be sumos. He's going around America asking for, like, a $5,000 entry fee. I'll train you up and you'll be the biggest sumo of all.
Because then I was going to be... So what do you think about this? Like, they were then like, they took their kit off and were like so sweaty.
Yes.
And then my producer was like, well, do you want to take your shirt off?
Oh my God, to be next to them? Dude. This is crazy.
And then I was like, no. And
yes.
She was like, oh, lame. You're not having fun. And I was like, I don't know who the fuck these men are. Like,
they've never been to Japan. This is not me being respectful to some cultural experience where, no. Like, you're not. It's like they're making it up. Everyone's pretending to do.
Everyone's
sumo.
Pretending. I'm just in a shit hotel room with two huge, exactly. Huge, sweaty men in their underwear who are carrying me over their head and touching me.
Exactly. It'd be like,
and you're all filming it.
You went to like an origami studio with a guy from South Africa and Colombia, and they're like, the way we do it is we have our penis in the.
If we have our penis out.
We do a little crane
it's
over
better
our
for
penis.
Folding the paper.
It's like, I don't know, man. I'm not really going to listen to you about what the methods are.
Anyway, so that's been my highlight of the week
my
so
Lord.
Far. Anyway,
dude. I'm going to be on the news forever having shit in my mouth. You're definitely going to be in a documentary about how hustlers took the art of sumo and then ruined its good name. We're going to be used as B-roll.
Well, I'm glad I didn't take my shirt off.
Yeah, at least your nipples weren't revealed. My nipples were revealed.
I hope it's just that and they're not. It's not like a weird sex thing, like the tickling thing, where there's guys just jerking off, paying the videos, and then unsuspecting media. That's their kink. It's like big guys picking up little guys doing media interviews, trying to do a wacky TV segment.
So yeah, you're worried you go to the event and there's no one there and it's all just fake and it was all about the interview. It was all about you. It's like Kaiser Soze or something. It's like he was never there. It was never real. All their accounts are gone. There's just a studio somewhere where like a ring of men are like, yes, the new video, and then it's just them.
We got it. They're selling it for big money. Guys
spinning you above their heads.
He did. He spun me around on top of it.
It's so funny because it's like, again, that is... Like, if they were Japanese, you'd be like, oh, look, it's all part of an interesting cultural experience. But if it's not sumo, it's just a bloke spinning you around.
Just spinning me. He's so big. And then, like, he made me do stretching before. And was like, I had my legs, like, spread, like, on the ground. And then he's, like, leaned down. And then the big guy is, like, sitting on my back. Like, pushing it into it, being like, you can go further. And he's not a fucking sumo wrestler guy. He's just a bloke.
He's just a bloke who sat on you. Get the shirt off, mate. Come on.
Yeah, anyway, I'm glad I didn't take the shirt off. I stayed strong.
You're right. You really stood up for yourself in there. Yeah, you really drew the line. You showed him, mate. You showed him. Cut to you like spinning like a top on his finger. Yeah, I'm really the alpha in the situation.
He's treating me like he's a Harlem Globetrotter and I'm a basketball, exactly. Just spinning me around.
Yeah, it's so fast you stop seeing where your head is and where your feet are. It's just like a thing in Looney Tunes. And then like cut to you out the front. Yeah, no, I really had to put the foot down. I had to tell him what's what.
Yeah. The younger me might have caved, but, you know, things I've learned, you know, learn to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, I didn't get the shirt off. Just got their kind of sweaty shirt, the stuff all over my shirt, which is kind of
that was the other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
My shirt was fucked because of all the sweat from the big fellas just all over me. I was just doing squats in a room with them on camera. We were just doing squats. Bodyweight squats. He was like, I'll do a traditional Japanese warm-up. And we started doing squats. Like, and I'm like, really? Is this it? It's like the one exercise everyone knows. We just dipped down a little bit and came back up. Anyway, it's called Japanese. To Air. You can watch it if you want to watch it.
Oh, yep. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I might want to get out there.
I might clip some of that out and chuck it at the end of this, I reckon.
Okay. Well, then maybe, hopefully as well, by the time this goes to air, you'll be in the background of the Channel 7 footage.
I reckon, yeah, no.
Clip I've that got up to watch, as well.
Okay, I've got to watch Channel 9 News to see what...
Oh, it's Channel 9.
What the... I'm going to make a note to myself. I think it's funny to talk about the other time you were treated like a sexual object, in part because it's so difficult for you to talk about this, because it's, like, what happened? Can I say what you told me happened?
I'll adjust it if I think any of it is incorrect.
I get a text from a friend who was there, whose friend was there, being like, Taunton's been assaulted on stage.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck? What happened? And then get in our group chat, like, what's happened? Have you been assaulted? And you say, you get on stage at like a comedy club.
Yeah.
And you say, anyone got any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
A middle-aged woman says, yeah, you... And then rushes the stage to touch you. Is that what occurred?
I mean, that's pretty much exactly what happened.
And then you're like hiding and it's getting big laughs.
So yeah, it gets big laughs. She was egged on. So yeah, that's exactly what happened. I walked out on and then my opening, it was like 4 days after New Year's maybe.
Yes.
And I was like, anyone got any New Year's resolutions? She says you, that kills. Like that's okay. Getting a huge laugh. So I think she might have been egged on by that. I don't think
she didn't initially rush.
I don't think she was planning.
So she's like, how can I top this big laugh? Get him.
Well, no, I think she got the performer thing. It's like, you know, when you get a laugh and then you quickly want to tag it with something to keep that laugh going.
I think
she goes, you. It's like a gunshot laughter. Like, what?
Yes.
And then from that, she immediately, I don't think she even thought.
Up in
her
seat.
She just stood up. With her arms like going forward to like
a zombie, like
to try to get me, to touch you. And it's like coming,
and that's killing.
That's killing.
Bigger laugh.
That's killing. And I was like scared. I was like, oh, I didn't. She was a drunk lady, She would have been maybe like 50, blonde.
And she comes out a little, because, you know, you're up on stage in these live venues, you've got light in your face.
Yeah.
So you generally can't really see the crowd. There's just like, they're all in shadow.
But she's in the front
until
row.
Until someone came quite close. So you could see her.
I could see her. And
she saw her coming.
Immediately. So it's front row, so she can just step onto the stage. Steps on.
Yes.
I take a step back. Immediately, yes. I'm like, and I scream no, like I didn't play
no.
I didn't play it cool or fun, like I didn't like, because I've seen
sit down you're like no.
I've seen a comedian do like a woman storm the stage to like touch them or hug them, and they've played it so cool, and they like hug them and they interview them. I screamed no, and then I retreated.
It's like if. Sorry, you go.
No, well, I'm just saying I retreated. There was then like a big speaker. I retreated and then jumped onto the speaker to hide.
As in how high's like up?
So it's up. It's probably like a meter up in the air. And I was like, I don't reckon she'll be able to get me up here. So I'm on that.
You're hiding like from an animal.
I'm hiding on that. I'm squealing. I'm literally going, go away. Go away like that. And that
at this point, you're doing it for laughs, surely.
Yeah, that is killing. But she also then was trying to kind of get up the speaker on top. Like, she was trying to climb. She didn't have the athletic ability to get up there.
Surely just a meter up, she can touch you, though. Is she not just touching you?
She was trying to touch me, and then I would move further away into the corner. And then she got some touches in. She definitely got touches in.
Where was she touching?
She got leg. She touched leg, like lower leg.
She got on leg. The speaker. Okay. Was she squeezing or just touching?
No, just like touching, and then maybe touching. Oh, she probably got a bit of arm and or something.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and then I stayed on the speaker for a while, but I wasn't charming enough to like.
Were you asking her to go? Please sit down.
I was like, you can't come on the stage.
Please. I was like, you're not allowed to. Like pleading with her to stop.
You're not allowed to be up here. This is my space. Like, I was pathetic. I was so pathetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I played
but
it
then
like,
leaning in.
And then she finally sat down, and then I tried to like win the crowd back, but then I think they became apparent that they were just caught up in the pandemonium of it all.
Well, then yeah, then you have to like go back into material and it's like yeah, then they're just like
I went into
now you're bombing.
Whatever my dog like, shit bit about.
5 minutes ago people are trying to touch me.
Yeah, and then I didn't reference it enough, and I was like, anyway, so my New Year's resolution is. And they're like, a woman just assaulted you.
Oh, but it, like, how are you meant to follow that, you know?
Well, I couldn't do
this
it.
This is the
and
trouble.
Then, and then the next act that was on asked the MC to do an announcement saying, just a reminder to the crowd not to come on the stage and not to talk
to
the act.
You wish, was this next act male?
Yep.
Yeah, they're probably going to want to touch me too, so I'm just going to
I don't think
going to talk to the powers that be to make sure that more people don't rush the stage for me. I'm worried about more than one woman coming and trying to touch my arms. That's what I'm worried about.
I don't think this lady knew me, though. Like, I don't think it was like, she was like, oh my God, Sam told my favorite comedian. No. I think she was, I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, I think she was sexually attracted to you.
You reckon?
I think, yeah. I think that's the joke.
Yeah, I know that's the joke, but I thought it was just a joke. She was just round.
Nah, you're an attractive guy. This is like what's funny to me about this, in that you're basically your new Matt Rife is out.
Well, he got cancelled.
This was his thing. Matt Rife, good looking dude, would go viral for doing crowd work with mainly women who were enamored.
But they
want
to. They're openly like, I want to fuck you. I guess she stormed the stage and tried to touch me.
Yeah, so is this woman, dude. What do you mean? This is the most open someone's... She's chasing you, trying to touch you. It's like more... But then Matt Rife is all southern and confident, like, hey, babe, thanks for the compliment. Maybe see you afterwards. Like, all... Mm. Yeah, cool. You're like...
Ah! Yeah,
I... Like, just, hiding, like, from a bug, like, up on a thing, being like, no! I don't know.
But maybe
it's like you're the new Matt Rife, like nervous Matt Rife. That's what this
well,
is.
Well, I'm sure Matt Rife was scared the first time it happened as well. Maybe I just need to practice it. It's like when you start, you know, it's like a new thing. Maybe next time a woman storms the stage, I'll like hug her or something. And I'll be like, and I'll be able to handle it. I'll be like, what up, baby?
Totally. Just be real cool, calm.
What do you say? What would you say? What are you supposed to say when a woman's like, I want New Year's resolution? She's like, you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Do you want to kiss?
But yeah, let's pretend it's midnight and do a little midnight kiss.
Mm.
And then you kiss her on the cheek. Wouldn't that get a big, big clap? That's like what the most suave guy in the world would do, I reckon. Hug, like, running away is so funny.
Not even just running
but
away.
But also hiding. Appropriate. It's what I'd do.
I sought higher ground, like there was a flood.
Exactly. Well, it's just weird. Don't come and touch me. It reminds me of, I remember playing Spin the Bottle in year six. So at the end of year six.
Are you saying I'm frigid? I am frigid.
Yeah, I mean, it's frigid behavior. But fair enough. You don't have to kiss every, but like, I'm joking in that you should, like, it's, you shouldn't be the suavest, most like ladies man from the 80s kind of guy. Like, that's the crazy vibe that Matt Rife went
through.
Yeah. Your reaction is way more relatable. But yeah, I remember being, and I wasn't frigid. I was like keen to, like, it was the last day of school, last day of primary school.
Yeah.
Everyone's in a park. No school. Everyone goes in year six, goes to a big park. And we were sitting in a circle and playing Spin the Bottle. I'd never played Spin the Bottle before. People talked about Spin the Bottle. Oh my God, I haven't kissed anyone. Like, this is crazy. And just, I think I didn't even get a go.
No.
I think I was in a big, like, of like eight people. There were a few kisses. And then by the time it even got to, I don't remember having a go. I think by the time it got to me, people were like,
forget it. They're off it. The bottle, does the bottle have to land on you? Can you just, no, or it gets to your turn and then whoever it lands on, you get to kiss them.
Exactly. Yeah. So if it's your turn, you spin the bottle and then who the bottle points to, that's the person you get to kiss. None of, like, so yeah, I remember this. A few girls that I was attracted to span the bottle and I remember the feeling of, oh my God, if it points at me, oh my God, I got to kiss her.
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't happen, didn't land on me. And I never got a go.
Oh.
So I just wasn't involved in the kissing.
Well, they gave up the game when it got to Tom, the previous seven.
Exactly.
And they're like, oh, Tom's turn. Oh, actually, I think we're pressed for time. Sorry.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean, guys? We've got all day. What do you, we've got hours.
We don't have to go to school, guys. It's like, no, the bottle's broken, I think.
We actually
can't play anymore.
My cheek hurts from all the kissing, so I should probably wrap things up. But then they're like, let's play kiss catch.
Oh, yeah.
And so the girls are in. And then the girls, if they catch you, then they kiss you.
Mm.
And I remember, like, running away. And then you're kind of, yeah, hoping that the girls you're attracted to are running at you. But then a girl who I wasn't attracted to was running at me.
Oh, yeah.
But I wasn't interested. So I just ran really fast away and just hid and, like, didn't go back.
No.
And I remember sprinting because I'm faster.
I was going to say, you're quick. It's going to be hard for any of these girls to catch you. You were a great
runner. Well, I think I was I burnt this girl. Like, I was...
That can't be fun for her to see.
She's like, I'm like running full pelt.
She's like, Tom, come here. And then it's exactly. You go into track mode. You put put the running spikes in and just floor it.
Won the cross country that year. Like, I was born for this. Like, I'm out of there. This is my terrain. I'm in a park. I don't care.
She's like, Tom, I think you don't understand the nature of the game.
I'm playing dumb. I'm like, oh, I thought it was like a running thing.
I thought it was like a running, and whoever runs the fastest gets a kiss, right? Is that not
exactly.
How
not
it works?
Slowest.
You'll kiss
Why
me.
Should the slowest be rewarded?
Actually, I was playing the long game because you will see how quick I am at running and be so attracted that I'll get wall kisses down the line. That's how the game works.
Yeah. Has anyone seen that bottle? Can we bring the bottle back?
Can we bring the bottle back? I'm running. Bottle was really good.
Yeah. I take the bottle and like pointing it at girls like... I spun it before. I spun it. It's already been
I've already spun it. It's actually still my go. Yeah. We stopped, but it's...
Yeah, you missed the spin.
But it's
spin
like, even though we did the first seven, it's still up to eight, even though we've had a break.
No one said that the girl has to be present for the spin. So I did the spin before. It put it at you, so I'm over here now to tell you that it's now you have your legally bottle obligation.
Legally. Under the bottle regulation of 92, you have to kiss me.
So I was like looking around, and yeah, guys are like, doing fake running and getting caught and kissing, and I'm like just hiding in a bush. Well, she's given up.
I mean, dude, that's what it was. I guess I could
that's
have
what
kissed
you
her.
Were doing. You fool just ran. You just like want to avoid the situation, just physically.
But there was only so far to go. I don't know where I would have gone further. Maybe like tried to climb onto the roof. Mm. It would have been wild just to leave the stage. I've never done that. Just
I mean,
to be like, hey, hang on, that was really inappropriate, what you just did.
Yeah, she's trying to... I mean, it's a bit inappropriate, though. This is the funny thing that I find funny about this, is that, like, it's a difficult thing for you to navigate because there's a compliment in there of this girl. Like, she's making a joke that she wants to have sex with you and touch you, which is kind of fine, but a bit uncomfortable. But then... if you express any kind of on the night or like later, like it's almost difficult for you to tell the story like it was at the beginning of the, because it's like, it would sound like you're trying to show off that people are trying to touch you, but it's so the uncomfortable position it puts you in is the humorous thing to me, because how are you meant to deal with it? You've got to be like, oh, great. But there is this little, like, 50-year-old woman rubbing at your legs.
It's when, very I didn't tell anyone.
You're just trying to try out your new bit about New Year's resolutions, and she's, like, touching your thighs and...
I bombed pretty hard after. Like, I didn't do good for the rest of the 10 minutes of the set. Everyone was thinking about the lady. I'm trying to get better with my health. Like, that's the bit I segued into. Anyway.
There's all types of small ladies, big boys, they all want a piece of your body, mate.
Fuck, imagine she gets on. Mate, that's why I ran. What if she got on the stage? She starts spinning me around on my head.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was before. Maybe she's like, I can't touch him.
I've got some boys that could touch. The only way to get this mastermind to touch someone is if I can make them pretend sumo wrestlers. Should we call? Is that it?
The heat is on and the swimmers are in. It's Sydney, school holiday paradise. And while the water couldn't be more enticing, it's the bacteria at Balmoral and dozens of other swimming hotspots which is threatening to ruin the fun.
There's certainly an elevated risk.
Heavy rain this week, causing sewage to seep into stormwater, creating elevated pollution levels.
And this could lead to gastrointestinal, skin or respiratory infections.
I wasn't even aware that there was that problem here. So, yeah, that is definitely with children going in the sea, they might swallow the seawater.
Yes, it would concern me.
There are right now 26 swim spots where the water quality is unsuitable for taking a dip, and many others, including Bronte and Tamarama Beach, where caution is advised.
It's probably best not to put your head under the water. It's probably best not to put your head under the water.
And look for signs of pollution such as discoloured water and floating debris.
While coastal beaches will clear quicker, it'll be harbourside inlets like Double Bay's Murray Rose Pool,
The exact beach I was at.
Which will take a little longer to filter through.
It's probably best not to put your head under the water.
I decided to step into the makeshift dock here.
Okay, now shift and hold it. And ideally, that's really good. Sam, you're great. Go all the way down.
No, I can't do that. No, it hurts.
With this invaluable knowledge, I was ready to take on the big boys.
Let's go, Sam.
Someone call my mom. Gotcha.
Hey, the match is over.
Is it over?
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you for teaching me. I loved it. And enjoy your time in Australia.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shane, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.